We're going to go into God's Word, and I'm praying that God will speak to us in a special way today. Let's stand, alright? If we take and open the book of Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. I'll read the first verse, and then you read the second, until so on until we finish at verse number 7, okay? Ready? Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, I'll start. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Verse 2. Verse 3, and has borne and has patient and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Verse 4. Verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent. Do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Verse 6. Verse 7, let's read together. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, I pray, we pray, that you would speak to thy people today. Lord, in Revelation chapter 2, it is a specific letter to a specific church. And Lord, you mention in verse 7 that those who have ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And Lord, we know that this is a timely message for all of us as we end off this month of brotherly love. And God, may your word speak to us, and may our hearts respond in love and obedience to you. And may every child, every youth, every young person, every married couple, everyone that is here, take heed to your words today. Father, we want to hear from you personally. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. The book of Revelation is an interesting book. It's a prophetic book in the New Testament. Okay? John the Apostle was, in church tradition, was nearly martyred in the sense that he was actually thrown into a pot of boiling oil. But by a miraculous act of God, he was not killed. And so Emperor Nero, who couldn't kill him, actually banished him into exile, hoping to separate John the Apostle from his church so that he will not have any influence, or he will not be able to influence the Christians anymore for the glory of God. But little did the emperor know that when he went to the island of Patmos, he had an influence far greater than what Nero ever expected. Because up to today, when John the Apostle was on the island of Patmos, God gave him a revelation of the last things. Alright, those in the youth, this should be quite new to you, because I went through the things that happened after chapter 3. Okay, chapter 4 onwards. But in chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3, God speaks specifically to the churches through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to go through that, and I want us to highlight three lessons from here. And I believe it is very important for us to understand this. Right, there are seven churches. You look at verse number 1. I just go through, alright? Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus, write, this thing saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. The Bible says unto the angel of the church. The word angel means a messenger. Many people believe that God was writing specifically to the pastors of all the churches, the seven churches. Alright? There are many people who believe that, well, maybe the seven church ages. I think the Bible is really clear that God was referring to the churches during that time. He was writing to the pastor of the church at Ephesus, and he says, "These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand." The seven stars, if you will look up at verse chapter 1, verse 20, you will notice that the Bible says the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. So which means that the Lord Jesus Christ holds the messengers, the pastors in their hands. Alright? That is an encouraging thing for a pastor to know that God holds it in his hand. But it's also a fearful thing because God will judge him. Alright? Okay? That's one thing. And the Bible says also, "And who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." If you look at Revelation 1:20, you will find that the seven golden candlesticks refers to the seven churches. Okay? Now, biblically, it's very clear that stars refers to the pastor, the candlesticks refers to the churches. And the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ walks in the midst of the churches. Two implications there. Christ protects his church. Number two, Christ knows what's going on in the church. I say that again. Christ protects his churches, and the Lord Jesus Christ knows exactly what goes on in the churches. And so when the Apostle John writes that, God is saying, "Look, as the head of the church, I know what is going on in this church." And I want us to be very clear about that, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of ambassador, not Brother Johnny. Okay? Only one person say amen. What about the others? Okay, we need to amen, because Christ is the head of this church, not Brother Johnny. Okay, very clear. Let me go a little bit into Ephesus. The word Ephesus means desirable. Ephesus basically is a very wealthy city during that time, probably the second most wealthy in the ancient world. They had this big temple called Diana, Temple of Diana, which is worshipped throughout. Okay, when the Apostle Paul went to preach the gospel, many people turned to Christ. They were buying idols from the Temple Diana, or for the Temple Diana. They were contributing, and many people who sell idols were making a lot of profit. But when Paul came to preach the gospel, the sales went down. And the people were very angry, because the sales of Temple Diana has gone down. Why? Because many people are turning from idols to serve the living God. That should be a good thing, right? Amen. And can I say this? The goal of ambassador, the goal of the Bible, the goal of Christ is that people are taken from their past life and changed into the life of Christ. That their lives are changed. But you know what? The world doesn't like that. And so Paul had a lot of problems. And so during that time when Paul came to Ephesus to preach the gospel, many people got saved. And then the church began to grow. But one of the things you realize as you read Revelation 2, the church at Ephesus held strongly to Bible doctrine. They were very strong on Bible doctrine. Okay? Now, but one of the things that happened in that church was this. They held so strongly to Bible doctrine that the whole church was filled with suspicion and distrust. Meaning that, say, this person is doing right, that person, is she believing right? And so there began to be an air of suspicion, to the point that people weren't loving anyone much anymore, because there was this air of suspicion around. Jesus had to deal with this in this church. And I believe it is a fitting end for us in brotherly love, because of our theme of brotherly love this month. Based on this passage, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of the Ambassador Baptist Church, reminds us, commands us, that we need to serve Him with genuine love. Okay? And I will expound that a little bit later. All of us at Ambassador needs, or people who are here, need to realize that Christ expects this of us. What are some truths that we need to learn from this? In order to understand the first truth, alright, about the Lord's expectation, we need to understand the condition of Ephesus. And I want to highlight a few things here. In verse 2, Jesus said, "I know thy works, thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil." Number one, the church at Ephesus, if you have your feeling out, is a hardworking church. Because the Bible says, Revelation 2 verse 2, "I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience." Remember, Jesus walks in the midst of the churches. He knows what we do or don't do. Christ knows what we do or what we don't do. But in this church, Jesus says, "I know your works, This church is a hard-working church. I know thy works. Number two. Number two, Revelation chapter 2 verse 2, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. This church is a separated church. A church that stands for holiness and God's justice. Then the third one, this church was a discerning church. Revelation 2 verse 2, and thou hast tried them, we say they are apostles, and are not, and has found them liars. The word discerning means being able to tell between the right and the wrong. Okay? And so as a church, you know, today you go to many churches, and it's unfortunate, discernment has become it's on a low level, meaning they will just allow anything to come to the church and it's okay. Can I say it is not? Now, those who have been members for quite some time, last year, Christmas time, we had 4 weeks of discussing why Christmas trees are not Christmas. Christmas trees are not related to the birth of Christ. And we had the whole thing about can we have Christmas trees at home? Can we have all this? And we took a position very clearly. Anything that is not biblical, that is not from the Bible, we don't bring into the church. Okay? Some may choose to do it. I know people. There was one person when I went to, during Christmas time, as well, just visiting, and said, "Hey, Pastor, coming, then hide the Christmas tree." Okay? Please don't do that. Okay? I'm not God. Okay? But and I won't say anything, because that's your prerogative. But you know what? It could be, you just need a time of learning and why, you know? We do have different convictions about certain things. But you know, as a church, it's very clear, we don't give angpaos in church too. Because there's nothing to do with church, okay? You want to do it outside, do it outside. There's nothing to do with, we don't want to bring pagan practices into the local church. Okay, so that's very clear. But you know, it came to a point that this church was saying, they not only say that you don't have Christmas trees in church, you say, you better don't have Christmas trees at home. Otherwise, your back system good for nothing. And they began to judge people very strongly. Why? They want to be separated. It was a separated church. But it was also a discerning church. A church that knows right from wrong, and they actively deal with that. But can I say this in verse 3? And has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. This was a church that was a dedicated to the glory of God church. In other words, they will do everything for God. That's what Jesus said, right? You have labored, you have patience, and you have not fainted. Even though the environment is hard, even though it is hard for you to live for Christ, but you guys are dedicated, and that's what the Lord Jesus Christ starts off. And you know, thank God that at that time the church was really strong, and when Jesus said that, he meant it. Amen? He meant that the church worked very hard. You know, I thank God Ambassador Baptist Church works hard too. I'm not trying to praise, but I'm just saying, to look at how the workers work during youth camps. Some of them go without very little sleep. The campus, I cannot praise you because you purposely don't want to sleep one, right? You play what blind mice at 4:30 a.m. Can you imagine parents? They play games at 4:30 a.m. You know? At 5:15, they're all on the floor. Okay. But it's okay. It's camp. It's fun. And I thank God during devotions the next morning. Not next morning. A few hours later, they didn't fall asleep. Thank God. But I'm sure when they went home, it's like... I wouldn't. Okay, it was really funny, but they work hard. All right, the youth workers work hard. Many people outside try to do certain things to make things better. Even our visitors just come to visit. You know, some of the sisters came and they were in the kitchen trying to help. And you know, everyone just put in their effort to do what they can. And I'm sure in the VBS too, many people will do that. So it was a hardworking church, a dedicated to the glory of God church. But you know, it's interesting. You know, sometimes when you see a group of people or even someone that has all these characteristics, it is very hard for us to tell the fault to that person. Wouldn't that be true? Right? But you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ loved the church so much. Even one flaw, He will not tolerate. Because why? He wants us to be better. The Ephesian church had one problem. Look at verse number 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because thou hast left thy first love. You are a dedicated to the glory of God church. You are a discerning church. You are a hard-working church. You are a church that stands for the truth. We are a separated church. But lesson number one, we can serve Christ without loving Him. We can serve Christ without loving Him. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, we can at this verse say that, get a sense of what is important to God. Do you realize service to Christ is important? Let's look at Luke chapter 13, verse 19. 19 verse 13. I'm not too sure whether it is there. Luke 19, verse 13. Luke 19 and verse 13. You will find that this is a passage of the second coming of Christ, okay? In verse 12, the Bible says, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And so, this represents the Lord Jesus Christ going to heaven. And so, in verse 30, he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said, occupy till I come. That is still God's command to his churches today. The word occupy means, if you understand the parable, when the man went away to receive the kingdom, he gave 10 pounds to everyone. He expected them to be diligently involved in his business before he comes back. Does that make sense? It means that the servants are to take the 10 pounds and do something with it, with business, the master's business, until he comes. And the word occupy means make sure your time is filled with what the master wants us to do. The word occupy till I come, for a Christian, we must be diligently involved in the master's work. Yes, you have your family duties. Yes, you have other things that may be on your plate. But you know, as a Christian, we must be dedicated to the duties our master have handed to us when we are here. Does that make sense? And it's very basic. But still, here is very important because Christ's last parting command is, occupy till I come. In fact, it is the same Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. What does it say? All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You know what? Today many Christians are not bothered about that anymore. The evangelism of friends. Do you realize that was Christ's parting instruction to his church? Alright, so important, he repeated it 5 times. Mark chapter 16, 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. Luke chapter 24, and repentance and remission of sins shall be preached in all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And then in John chapter 20, verse 21, even as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. So, 5 times before Jesus left, gave the instruction to the church, and Jesus says, occupy till I come. You know why? That's why Ambassador Baptist Church is always going out. Because we need to occupy till he comes. Alright? And that's what. And so you get a sense of, this is very important to the Lord, but you know that there's something else that's more important. Can I say this? Just because I say it's more important, don't we have that thinking that, oh, this is more important, therefore I can put this away. I'll show you a verse of what Jesus meant there. As we serve the Lord, you know, sometimes we can come to the point we serve God by going through the motions. We just do it because everyone is doing it. That was a problem in the Ephesian church. They were getting to the point that their life, they were just doing it because, oh, I don't understand for truth, I need to have this attitude. But you know what? The love for Christ. Jesus actually said, I have this against you. The word against means, God says, you are doing all these wonderful things. But I'm afraid, if you don't deal with this, everything else doesn't matter to me. And I say this is what the God of heaven is telling us today. You know, it's a challenge to my heart as pastor that, yes, I'm serving every day. And we get tired. And when we get tired, we begin to give reasons why we should take a break. Right? But you know what God says? I need you to serve with love. Doesn't mean you don't take a break. In fact, we need to, the Bible says in the book of Mark, I believe, Jesus told the disciples, come apart and rest a while. Okay? Tell you what, Brother Desmond is a very good camp master. Go and sleep, go and sleep, go and sleep, go and rest. He always asks us to go and sleep, man. He himself don't sleep, man. Huh? Okay? he worked very hard, alright? Thank God for that. And I'm not praising him, just going to praise him, but you know, all the workers work very hard. But you know what? The Bible actually teaches us, come apart and rest a while, otherwise we'll come apart. We need to rest. But you know, sometimes we get to the point, Lord, I want to serve. You know what Jesus will say? You may be doing all these things. You know, I'm hoping that people won't serve God just to show other people. We serve God because we love Him. Jesus had an issue with this church. You guys are doing all these things. I have something against you. The Bible says, I have this against you. Jesus tells you in us in the face that you have left your first love. And from this we learn the lesson that we can serve Christ without loving Him. Okay? We can serve Christ without loving Him. And this is something that we need to really, by God's grace, if God is speaking to us, deal with that. You know what is more important to God is that we serve Him with genuine love for Him and for the person serving. So, Brother Johnny, therefore, no, I need to spend time making... I need to spend time doing all I can to stoke up that love again, right? You know, many people will be tempted to say, then I better stop serving and work on my heart. Let's turn to Matthew 23. Okay? I can tell you that if you do that, you go down that road, you're wrong too. Matthew 23. Matthew 23. Look at verse 23. This is exactly what Jesus told the Pharisees. I'm not saying you're a Pharisee if you do that, but you know the principle I want to draw out. Matthew 23 says, "Warn to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith." Did you know that? Do you see that? So they are doing all the things they're supposed to do legally, but the Pharisees are putting away the weightier matters of the law, mercy and judgment. Notice what Jesus says, "This ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." You need to work on your heart and serve me at the same time. Does that make sense? But you know, we are doing a lot, but you know, my concern is as we do, we need God to say, "Lord, as I do, God, I'm tired, but God, I love you." And that's why I'm doing this. Because Jesus had a problem with the Ephesian church. The church where they were doing so much things, but they didn't have the heart there anymore. You have left thy first love. The word left means to walk away from thy first love. Number one lesson, we can serve Christ without loving Him. But notice secondly in verse number 4, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love." We need to define what is first love. What does it mean when Jesus says your first love? The word first there in the Bible has two meanings. It means the beginning or the best. Okay? It probably means the both together. The best is the beginning. Okay? The word love, interestingly, is agape love, unconditional love. First love, therefore, refers to the first or best love that results in kind actions and words towards each other. It can also refer to the love of Christ, for Christ, when we first became a Christian. You remember the first time you became a Christian? Oh, how you were on fire for Him, and yeah, I want to come to church and do all this kind of thing. And I'll volunteer, I'll get baptized, I join the church, and everything that comes up. I remember when I became a Christian, and that's what I did. You know, every time the church doors are open, I'll be there. You know, I'll be there, and I always there 1 hour early. Even the workers were embarrassed because they were late to prepare stuff. You know, and I'm there as a young teenager, 13 years old, just kind of sitting and waiting at the door. You know, and I wanted to be there. You know, and you know. It was the first love. I read the Bible. I always boasted. I read 20 chapters a day. Didn't understand anything, but I read 20 chapters of the Bible every day. And thank God, by the way, even if you don't understand everything, it's okay. Just keep reading. Okay? The more you read, the more you understand. Right? My mom is doing that. The more she reads, the more she's understanding. She's reading this. How many times you read John already, Ma? My mom is just probably read John. How many times you read John? Countless. 10 times. She read the book of John 10 times. Okay, now she's moving on to 1 John. And then I was very encouraged. But by the end of 10 times, she understood. Oh, Jesus actually went about doing good, right? Yeah, that was what she got. But you know, that was something that she may not have realized. But as she read, can I say this? The Word of God When you read, God the Holy Spirit is very kind to us. When we read, God the Holy Spirit at least give you an impression. When you actually need it, He will bring it out. God will help us in our Bible reading, but we need to read. The first love is when, wow, I was so excited, wow, wow. Every time people sing a special, wow, well done, amen. Even though that guy went out of tune, you know. Even though the piano wrong, but amen, you know, praise God, you know. And you're all excited, and you come to church, never mind the chair broken, never mind the lights never work. Wow, I'm just there, just glad to be there because I love Christ. 3 years later, we begin to sit down, say, I think that Christian ought to practice more when he prepares a special. I think this church ought to work a little bit harder on keeping the aircon warm. I mean warm, I call it cold. You get what I mean? After a while, we begin to... This person is not doing what is right. And we begin to be critical. You know what Jesus said? You have left your first love. You have left that first love. When the Lord Jesus tells the Ephesian church that they have left their first love, He can mean that they have lost their love for Christ compared to the first time they became Christians. They have slowly but surely slowed down in their Bible reading, in their prayer, in their soul winning, and in their love for one another. The very evident sign, there are two indications of love for Christ. Okay, there are two indicators. Can I say this? I can never know what is in his heart except by what he does. Agree? I don't know what... Are you feeling warm? Let me put in. I can never know what you think in your heart about me except through what you do. Agree? I can see what's in your heart by what you do. Okay? If you don't talk to me, if you don't do anything to me, I know that something's going on. If that's what you previously have been doing. I can only judge your heart based on your works. And so God gives us two indicators of where our heart is. Because Jesus mentioned in Matthew 6 where your treasure is, what you look forward to, what you do, is that's where your heart is. Okay? The two indicators, number one, your first love is demonstrated when you love the brethren. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. The first indication of first love is that we enjoy Christians' company. We enjoy to be in church. We actually enjoy the fellowship of Christians. We will give no excuses to miss out on that. I know there may be certain things that may happen. I know people have to work and all that. But you know, you do all you can. There was one time I was in my office and it was about 5. You know, time was almost up for work already. I saw the social worker actually was warming up her dinner. Okay, I could see it was dinner because it was a little Tupperware and there was a microwave right at the side near the toilet in the kitchen. And so this lady, the social worker, took, and she was like kind of rushing, you know. And I said, oh, hey, where are you going? Oh, how come you're bringing food, taking your dinner here? No, I'm warming my dinner so I will not be late for prayer meeting. That struck me. You know, in the past, people will come to church in their army uniform because they didn't want to miss church. Today, we will come and, let me take a break first, and if I feel like going, you've left your first love. Because the fellowship of God's people is not so important anymore. I know there are many things that could happen, I know that, but if you look at what Jesus is saying, you love the brethren. You know, further than that, in James chapter 2 and verse 1, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. We begin to have prejudice against certain people, the way they do things. Because James actually said, have not, don't possess the faith of Christ, and then you are prejudiced against someone else, because this is inconsistent with the genuine love of Christ. Remember the Samaritan woman? The Lord wasn't prejudiced against her. All the Jewish nation would stone him to death. But you know what? He said, I must needs go through Samaria. Because why? There's a Samaritan woman. I don't care what the world says. She needs Christ as well. I'm going. And he went there, and thank God. And not only that, he went there, Samaritan woman got saved, the entire city got saved. Amen? All right, what God can do when we put away our prejudice. There are some youth that will come to our church, they may have broken families. So what? Jesus Christ still loves them. Amen? And we need to look at them from Christ's perspective, not from our own. Was a sad thing that my wife and I received a sad piece of news. Sad in a sense, because there was this person who was sharing how discouraged she was at another church, whereby there was this particular youth who came into the youth group, and it wasn't very, you know, a bit messy, you know, no jeans torn and all that kind of thing, and wasn't really that kind of, and all the church deacons, make sure my youth don't hang around with that, the kind of people. Oh, in the name of Christ, we cannot do that. We need to reach out in love to these people. It could be that they just have things that Christ can heal, and we need to. You realize for us to get to that stage, all of us must grow. First in our love for Christ. Because when our love grows for Christ, then we will love people the way Christ will love them. Oh, it is heartache to hear. I shared again how I would knock on the door. And people say, I've been discouraged by this church for the last 27 years. I'm not going to church anymore. So what did they do? You know, and they'll share, and as they share, they'll cry. You know, my encouragement to you, if you have been burned by churches, listen to me. God's church is still in the Bible. Yeah, churches will be, there will be no perfect church in the world, amen? If it's perfect, don't join it. But if you join it, that's it. I wouldn't dare to join it, because when I go there, that's it, it'll be imperfect. You know what? Churches are made out of imperfect people trying to be perfect like Christ. And that's where we are. We need to come together to encourage one another to be like Christ. That's why Jesus was very clear. If you left your first love for your brethren, how in the world are you going to encourage one another to live for Christ? Does that make sense? And so the first thing, we must never have prejudice. And the first love is demonstrated when we love the brethren. Can I say this? Our love for the Lord Jesus Christ can be seen in our love for our brethren. And when we love our brethren, we show that we love the Lord Jesus Christ. It is inseparable. Matthew 22, verse 36, 37 makes it very clear. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, all thy soul, all thy might. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You cannot divorce the love of God from the love of man. Some people say, oh, I love God, but I cannot stand Him. That doesn't work in the kingdom of God. If you love God, you will love your fellow man, no matter how badly he treats you. Alright? Jesus gave us the example already. Oh, Brother Johnny, it's hard. I know it's hard. Because we are sinners. That's why as a church, our goal is to encourage one another. Let the strong bear the infirmities of the weak. Let those who know the situation come around. Men of the church, we need you guys to stand up and rise up with spiritual strength to look at a younger brother or sister in trouble, encourage them, get around them, privately pray for them, work with them, call them, work, just get them moving again. We can't be so concerned about ourselves that we don't reach out. Because otherwise, we would have left our first love. And no wonder many youth walk back into the world because there's no one to guide them. I say that with all my heart. You know, I'm 90 kilograms, but I can only split myself into how many pieces? We need everyone on board. It's a spiritual battle. We are losing people to the world, and the devil is just having a few time. Oh, parents, wives as well, work together, pray for your family, pray for each other. Our love for Christ is demonstrated when we love our brethren, number one. Number two, our first love is also demonstrated when we obey Christ wholeheartedly. Because Jesus said, if ye love me, you'll keep my commandments. We come to a stage in Bible Christianity today when obedience to Christ is only when I want to do it. It's only when it's convenient. It's only when, you mean after I say I need to be baptized? I think I shared before, but there's this primary six going to sec one boy. Because I think some people were getting baptized, so I said, I also want to be baptized. for me, I knowing this particular person, say, tell you what, when you get into Sec 1, then I'll meet up with you, maybe for 9 months, to go through some Bible things with you. And then we'll see at the end how. And it was okay at the end. But 3 weeks later, he came to me. He spoke to me in October. I told him, I'll meet you in Sec 1. He was still coming to church at the time. I mean, when you start Sec 1, maybe every week I'll meet you one time for about 9 months. You go through some ABCs of Christian growth. Make sure you know the faith before you get baptized. He said, okay. In October, he came to me. In November, 3 weeks later, he said, Brother Johnny, I don't think I have time to be baptized. I said, why? I don't think I have time. But baptism only a few seconds, so I just go down and come out. He said, no, I really have no time. Oh, no, the whole service is only 1 hour. I know what he was saying. I have no time to be committed to Christ. That was what he was saying. And I say today that teenager is no longer in church. No longer walking with God. Not interested whatsoever. He came to church before. I didn't chase him away. It's just that, remember Jesus said, what must I do to have eternal life? Well, I keep the commandments, you know. So, well, all this do and live, you know. But what else should I do? Then Jesus, loving him, said, sell all that you have. Give to the poor and come follow me. And that was what I did with this young man. And sadly, he chose the other way. Do you obey Christ wholeheartedly? In other words, you have a smile on your face. Yes, Lord, I'll do it no matter how tired I am. I will do it, Lord. I'm not talking about serving in church. I'm talking about forgiveness. I'm talking about just doing what God tells us to do based on the Bible. Reading your Bible. Praying. Soul winning. Reaching out to people in different ways. Overcoming sin in your life. The commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ are opportunities for a few things. Three reasons why God wants us to obey Christ. Number one, to make us more like Him. Amen? The more we obey Christ, the more we are like Him. Number two, to make us stronger. Do you realize to obey Christ, you need to overcome yourself? I say again, do you realize to obey Jesus Christ, you have to overcome yourself? Because Christ wants us to overcome our flesh. When people offend us, we're dealing with the friendships in the Sunday school. When people offend us, what should we do? If Christ were here, we should forgive, right? But what do we would like to do? There was one pastor who was very angry with something and he said, well, I wish I was not a Christian for 10 minutes so I can give it to him. Well, you know he can't. Why? Because he's a Christian. But you know what? Christ wants us to obey Him because He helps us to overcome, to be stronger. And number three, and this is so important, the reason Christ wants us to obey Him is to give us an opportunity to show how much we love Him. I say that again. The reason why Jesus Christ gave us His commandments is so that we can have an opportunity to show Him how much we love Him. I mean, Jesus has already showed us how much He loves us, amen, on the cross. And so right now He gives those commandments and said, look, if you love me, well then show it. Well then show it. So the first lesson we learn is that we can serve Christ without loving Him. But the second lesson, notice, the Bible says in Revelation 2:4, Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Lesson number two, we can lose our first love for Christ. There are some Christians who are Christians today right now. Yeah, they are doing what they're supposed to do, but they've lost the love for Christ. Oh yeah, you know that about the love of Christ. But you know what I mean by love for Christ? Some of you husband and wives, you stick together like glue, you know. Saw also cannot saw through. That's what I mean. Let me ask you a question. What in this world will be able to separate you from Christ? Would your job? Just because you don't have enough, would that stop you from obeying His word? If that is the case, the things of this world are more precious to you than Christ. You've left your first love. That's what Jesus means. Many times the saints of old, when they were tied to the stake and they were given one last chance, Either you recant and repent and say you don't believe in Jesus anymore, or else we will burn you at the stake. You know, many of them say, well, you go ahead, because I'm going to be with Jesus. And there was one, I think it was Ignatius, Polycarp or Ignatius, one of the early Christians, who says, 86 years I have been a Christian, and Christ has never been unfaithful to me. How can I at this end be unfaithful to Him? And with that, they burnt Him at the stake. Jesus says, if your life is more important than me, you're not worthy of me. But that doesn't mean you lose your salvation. But it's an expression of how Christ feels. And I think you all know, Christianity is not a religion. It is a personal relationship, a love relationship with Christ. Can I ask you, how is your love relationship with Him today? How is your love relationship with Him today? There are some possible reasons why we will lose our love for Christ. Number one, we are too busy. A pastor, my pastor in Australia said this. I didn't really get it at the time because I'm very blur. But after a while, I began to realize. He said, if you're too busy for God, you are just too busy. Did you get that? You're too busy for God, you're just too busy. There was one man of God who says, duties never conflict. There's a time that you say, okay, I finished my work. I know that, by the way, how many of you believe that work is never ending one? Put out your hand. Always have work one. So who's in charge of that? You need to draw the line. You need to draw the line. Okay? I know some bosses are workaholics. Okay? But you need to draw the line. You know what? We many times draw the line for our families. Not many are willing to draw their line for God. How many of you say, well, boss, I'm sorry, you know, I can't because I need to serve Christ. Your boss might say, you want to serve Christ or earn my money? What would you decide then? As a practical, pragmatic Singaporean, you will definitely choose Christ, right? You see how the trend of this age, you know what Jesus, what Paul says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing of mind. I'm not asking you to be impractical, but I believe you know what I mean. Your love for Christ. We had a situation in the youth camp. Okay, I'll let Brother Desmond have the privilege of sharing that. We had to face that. I thank God for His willingness. Well, we'll just go ahead and still do the right thing. Oh yeah, we suffered something, but you know what? We kept going for the church camp. And as a result, my niece got saved. Amen? At least he trusted Christ. Another one is knowing and is just waiting for the right time to trust Christ. My nephew is a bit blur one, but you know, I still love him and he knows what he needs to do. Thank God, and not just me, many other people at least found some comfort and understanding of what God wants them to do. Are you too busy? Fathers, may your children never say, and I'm saying this to myself too, you know, sometimes you're too busy, our children lose out. Because first love to Christ, not just to Christ, but also to the people around us. And that's what we need to take note of. Are you too busy? Number one. Number two, we can lose our first love also by the influences of this world. By the influences of this world. Okay? And in Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, let me just read. 21. Yeah, 22, Matthew 13:22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and become unfruitful. There were other influences of this world, the things of this world. And I said this before, I'll say it again. Our young people and everyone, please listen. There are two things that will influence your character for the next 2 years. What are the two things? The friends you hang out with and the books you read. If you hang out with the wrong friends, you will walk away from God. If you hang out with the right friends, godly friends, they will bring you up in Christ. If you read the wrong books, you will definitely think wrong things. But if you read godly books, it will make you become more like Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? And I might add a third thing, the websites you go to. you will become the type of person you see in the website. That's why my family, every time they go on the internet, they have to ask us first. Parents, some of us are giving free hand to our children. I'm not saying our children shouldn't be given some freedom, but you'll never know what will pop up. You know how subtle the devil is? I told our brother Wen Xin this morning, the devil doesn't play by the rules. The devil doesn't play by the rules. Fathers, be the spiritual priest of your house. Be the priest of your house. Because the influence of the... I can tell you the influences of this world is so subtle, it will destroy your children before your very noses. You don't even know what happened. I've had to deal with something even in our own family. Okay? And we thank God that our children are willing to listen and be disciplined as a result. But you know, at the same time, I say, wow, we have to put... Oh, Brother Johnny, you cannot protect your... You cannot protect your family. You need to give them some freedom. Tell that to the Singapore Armed Forces. You need to be an open economy, you know. Huh? We have military men here. There are many things that happen in the Army, Air Force and Navy that you don't know about. You know, there are 24-hour surveillance protection of our nation. Can you tell that to our armed forces, men? There are people who are willing to die for the country. Why? They are protecting something precious. I don't know about you. If you have that mentality, that's your problem. I'm going to protect my children to not allow the influence of the devil to influence them to live for the devil. Does that make sense? And you may say, Brother Jordan, that's your personal conviction. You look at the Bible. Look at what Jesus said. Every child